Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is the place that God has provided for us to come and worship and praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. You're in for a, hopefully, a treat today. This is Baptist Men's Day, and the men are taking over all aspects of the service, including the choir. And I don't want any snickers, Sadie, when we sing the special now.
Good morning. Good to be back with you again. Good to be here. I just wondered if I was in the Baptist church. You know, when you got to introducing one another and you got to talking, I realized that we were home folks. Anyway, this morning, I want to talk about probably what you don't want to hear. But I want to talk about it anyway. Miss Connie told me it was all right. That's Ms. Rhea. So what I want to do is talk about what's in your orchard. Now when I read the scripture lesson, you're going to ask me, well, Bill, where did you get what's in your orchard? But if you'll bow with me a little while, we will eventually get there. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, he had in the first chapter a beautiful prayer. And that prayer is what I want to start with this morning. And that's my prayer, not only for you, but for me. Let me read it to you. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. He may give to you the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the work of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places? Would you pray with me? Father, I'm going to thank you that as we open your word this morning, that you're going to illumine our minds and you're going to open us so that we are receptive to what you want today. I want to tell you I love you and praise you and thank you for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. They had called on me several years ago to do this. They had a breakfast. And Mr. Smiley, Mary Smiley, some of you knew him, some of you didn't. I went a little overtime. They were used to getting there at 12 o'clock. And I think I went on to about 12:15, 12:20. And anyway, I was at the back that morning. Mr. Smiley, he said, Bill, said, enjoyed your sermon. I said, thank you, Mr. Smiley. That's a compliment coming from you. He said, but if you'd eaten one more egg, I think you'd have preached all day. But I promise you that we'll be out by the time that they play ball. What time is that, Mark? What time is the ball game?
12:15.
So you'll be out by 12:15. Anyway, when Paul prayed this prayer, he didn't pray that the Ephesians would be successful. He didn't pray that they would be healed. He also didn't pray that they would be kept from harm. He didn't pray that they wouldn't have persecution. But he did pray that the Lord would give them the spirit of wisdom, that he would reveal the knowledge of him to them, that they might know him. He did pray that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened so that they would know what the hope of his calling was. And he did pray that they may realize what they had in Christ. My friend, the greatest prayer we can pray for anyone is that they might understand God's word and thereby his will. The Spirit of God wants to teach us. Jesus said, "But the helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." John 14:26. John 16:13-14 states, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatsoever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." In essence, the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and he will reveal Christ to us. 5:18, Ephesians 5:18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." My friend, that's a command. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Be filled with the Spirit. Not an option. It's a command. And until you and I come to the point where we are filled with the Spirit, we will never realize what potential God has for us. See, if you take a glass of water, or take a glass and fill it with water, it's filled. If you take the same glass and you fill it with marbles, it is not filled, because there's space between the marbles. And unfortunately, that's how most of us are. We've got the marble philosophy instead of the water philosophy. This catalog, and I'm sure some of you received it, Henry Fields, you know, they send you these things and they tell you about the trees that you can plant and the fruit that you can get off of them. And it does look good, you know. The only problem is I haven't seen any trees that I thought was as pretty as this. And I haven't seen any fruit. Have you seen any strawberries look that good? Have you? You know the reason that they don't look that good? That's on a paper. The strawberries that you and I have, they have other things around about them that they have to contend with. The summer, what do we have to contend with? Drought, various other things. What are really needed to produce these vegetables and fruit? You know, where you can say, well, it's sunshine, water, a little cultivation, what have you, what have you. But this morning, I want to talk to you about another orchard and what should be growing in our lives. Now, what I'm going to tell you this morning is not going to be Bill Wright. What I'm going to tell you this morning really is going to come out of God's Word, and that's the way it should be. So if you have any argument about anything this morning, you know you need to take it up with God. You don't need to take it up with me. You may want to talk to Mr. Stanley. You know, if you have any problems, he'll get me straight. So, John 15:8-6 states, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." You know, that's a great, one of the greatest statements in Scripture. God tells us that if you are bearing fruit, then you can ask what you want and he will do it. But if you're not bearing fruit, that's not going to happen. See, the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. And all of it comes about because of the Holy Spirit. Look in God's Word and we can identify the fruit he says should be growing in our lives. Some of us said, well, soul winning is the main thing in Scripture. I want to tell you that that's a byproduct of fruit producing. A lot of us have talked about serving. If you can't serve somewhere, then you really don't feel like you're doing anything. I want to tell you that serving is a byproduct of having fruit. We talk a lot about leadership. If I can only get on this committee, and when the nominating committee calls, I know that you're clamoring. Ms. Rowland, you know, I know that you're calling her constantly to get on these committees, so you want to be in a position of leadership. We don't have any problem with that, do we, Ms. Rowland? So I want to tell you that as fruit is being produced in your life, then serving in this leadership position becomes a byproduct of your life. So what is the fruit? Well, let's look. Look at your life. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Well, I won't tell you what I see when I look in the mirror, you know. It's bad enough having to look at the face every day, you know. And Ms. Hood, she's laughing, you know. So she was bearing down last week, but she didn't bow down this week. See, I was the king at the Valentine's thing. She bowed down last week, but she got so used to it this week, she just kept her seat. I had to remind her that she had to bow down. Don't let me have to tell you next week. But anyway, as you look in the picture of your life, you'll see a lot of things. See, most of us are country folks. We are plain old dirt people. We know what's in a garden. We know what's in the orchard. And when you look in the orchard, John, you see that a lot of it has to be pruned. I see you pruning it every time that it needs to be pruned. You'll see weeds growing in it that has to be gotten out. You'll see a drought comes about. And in that drought, we don't have enough water. Okay? You know our lives are just like that. God says if you don't prune it, you're not going to produce fruit. If you don't have enough water, you're not going to have the sap flowing through you, which is the Holy Spirit to do the job. If you don't pluck the weeds out and do something with them, then you're going to have a problem. See, God has told us in his word that there's a struggle going on in nature. And there's a struggle going on out here in nature as it is in the life. Paul told the Corinthians that what would happen to them. He says, whichever of the two natures you feed, that one is going to prevail. So if you feed the old lower nature, the flesh, that's going to prevail. If you feed the spiritual nature, then that is going to succeed. It's up to you. See, God has done everything that he can do. When he sent Christ to die for you, he gave you every provision that you need to live the Christian life. So then the ball comes back into our court as to whether we're going to live the Christian life the way we ought to or not. See, the drought, the weeds, the overcrowding, the lack of pruning, the bugs, and etc. are going to take their toll. Now, what you do with these are going to depend on how much fruit your orchard is going to produce. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lust or wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but you do the things that you don't. The flesh wants to have it its way and is actually in competition with the Holy Spirit. If you or if we feed the flesh, it will produce something other than fruit. Paul in Romans 7:15 states, "For what I will do, the new man wants to produce fruit that I do not practice." In other words, I want to do one thing, but I practice another. And that fits a lot of us. You can be a child of God and be producing works of the flesh in your life. The Bible calls it backsliding. Doing what you want to do. If you are in a backsliding state, you are not living the Spirit of God, and it is the works of the flesh are in your life, you're miserable. I know. I've been there. So what I'm telling you this morning, I'm telling you because I have experienced it. I've been there. They say experience is the roughest teacher, and it is. But when you learn the lesson, you learn it well. The law was given to control the flesh. It was never given to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." What happens when the flesh is not held in check? What produces? What comes about? I'm going to tell you, now this is God's word. Galatians, if you want to write it down, 5:19-20. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Those who practice this will not see the kingdom of God." Amen. Live in the flesh, and you will produce that. That's what God's word said. If you're going to have the fruit of the Spirit, you won't, and you cannot produce the works of the flesh. Now, that's another sermon. I'll let Pastor Stanley, he may want to preach on, can a Christian be possessed? Or can he do this and that and the other? Paul in Galatians 6:17 states, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Now, what it boils down to, if you sow corn, what are you going to reap? If you sow wheat, what are you going to reap? Wheat. So if you sow to the Spirit, what are you going to reap? Fruit. Everlasting life is a byproduct. Okay? Galatians 6:7 again. "Be not deceived." God's telling you, pay attention. "God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." The fruit I have been going towards can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. And that's what I was telling you about the water in the glass. God commands you to be filled. And if you are not willing to be filled with the Spirit, you will not produce the fruit of the Spirit, according to God's word. But the fruit of the Spirit is not a Bill Wright, not a Reverend Stanley, not because you're a membership of Ephesus Baptist Church or anything of that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Is the Holy Spirit producing the fruit in your life? Only produced by the Holy Spirit. Let's look and examine the fruit. Now, Aaron alluded to one this morning in his talk with the children. He talked about love. The Bible has a lot that it says about love. John 13:35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Do you love your brother? I've heard some Christians say, well, I hate that person and I will never forgive them. You heard that? Yeah. John 3:14. We know that we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. That doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means that you are just existing. That's what it boils down to. Only the Holy Spirit can produce the agape love that God talks about. The love that we produce is a selfish type love or a lustful type love. That's what we produce on our own. If you are a child of God, you are hating another believer, you are in death. Because the Holy Spirit, when he's indwelling a believer, produces love. It's impossible for love and hate to cohabitate. You either love or you hate. You cannot love, say, I love a brother, and turn around and hate him. John, in Matthew, I think it's in the 14th chapter, he says, my brother, I give to you, he told Peter, he said, I give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever is He said, I give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. So what he's saying, if you are hating a brother here on earth, then there's no way that I can release you in heaven and vice versa. So the thing is, when you get down and your life is producing fruit, and one of those fruit is love, then you can't hate your brother. And you can't live in hate. Okay? Joy. Let's back up just 1 minute. If you go home today, read the first chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter of the Bible. Read that. And that will tell you exactly what I'm trying to get across to you right now. Okay? Joy, the second one. What is joy? Romans state, for the kingdom of joy is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's not circumstances. You see some people sometimes that they are in the worst of circumstances, but they have a joy in their heart. They are rejoicing. They are not dependent upon circumstance. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Allow the Holy Spirit to become alive in your life and joy will abound. The word joy, Jesus, others, yourself. Okay? Peace, peace of heart. Peace is when the storm comes in your life. You remember Jesus on the Sea of Galilee? He was out in the boat. And the disciples said the boat's going to sink. And Jesus, where is he? Sleep. You know? The storm is raging all around him. And he's asleep. We're like the disciples. You know? We're trying to wake somebody up. Hey, I got a problem. Things are happening. But Jesus is asleep. He's got complete peace. Why did he have complete peace? He had complete peace because he knew the Father was in charge. And once we learn that the Father's in charge, it really doesn't make any difference about how we feel or what have you. It's about God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. I give to you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace that endures when the storm starts to beat upon us, only the Holy Spirit of God can produce peace in our lives. Long-suffering. What is long-suffering? Long-suffering is in patience and endurance, the ability to endure. Romans 15, 4, 5, for whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, Old Testament, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort against you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Jesus Christ. There again, may you be like-minded towards one another. May you be like-minded, okay? If you're like-minded towards your neighbor, then you're not going to hate them. James 1, 3, 4, knowing that the test of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, adding nothing. Kindness. What is kindness? Kindness is graciousness and good manners. My, how we need the Holy Spirit to manifest itself in our lives today. Southern charm and manners are fast disappearing. All you got to do is look around. You look and see how our parents dealt with situations and how we are dealing with them. We see that the graciousness and the good manners are going. That is a fruit of the Spirit, my friend. And the only way that you are going to exemplify it is for God to fill you with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Goodness. What is goodness? Simply good people. People you can count on. When the chips are down, a fruit of the Spirit. They may never hold a position. They may never hold a place of leadership. But they are good people. You can count on them. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness is fidelity, dependability. Only the Holy Spirit can make you faithful and dependable. Sunday school. I remember Jimmy, Ms. Mann, and Fanny Sue, smiling. Just about every year, they've got whatever Jimmy gave them for attendance in Sunday school. Miss Smiley, they'd get a plaque. You know, they were here every Sunday. They were dependable. They were faithful. Gentleness is meekness. It's not weakness. It's knowing what you believe and being able to stand on it. If you don't know what you believe, how can you stand on it? Stand for what is right. There's no compromise. In other words, that's the gentleness. Self-control is temperance. 1 Corinthians 9:25. And everyone who competes for the prize in temperance is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we, an imperishable crown. That's the reason that I love the Lord Jesus. The thing is, do you want to win? For the child of God, it's not a question of things being right or wrong. It is a question of whether you want to please Him. So it's not right or wrong. It's whether you want to please God. Do you want to live for God or not? No, it's a very simple statement. If you want to live for Him and you want to be filled with the Spirit, then those fruit are going to be produced in your life. As a child of God, we have the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled continually. It's His fruit and He provides it. It's God's fruit and He provides it to you. It depends on whether you want it or not. Take your Bible. And I don't want to hear too many ruffling of the pages. Just take your Bibles, one in the pew in front of you. And I want you to turn to Matthew 7. I'm going to close with this. Everybody got Matthew 7? Look at the 16th verse. I'm going to read 16 through 20. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So it's really not whether you're a soul winner. It's not really whether you're a servant or whether you're in leadership. All of that is a byproduct. See, God wants us to bear fruit, and he's given us a guideline. See, God has the standard. And whether you want to come up to his standard or not depends upon you. It depends upon you. He's not going to bring his standard down to you. You've got to come up to him. And that's what the scripture is all about, is you getting to know him and who he is and in his will for your life. Would you pray for me with me? Father, we thank you for your word. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll lay us asunder, and it will reveal the truth. And that truth is you. And we thank you this morning that we've had a chance to not only talk about you, but to talk about the fruit that is given by the Holy Spirit, given by you, and given by the Father. Because there's three gods, or one God in three persons. And we thank you that you sent the Spirit that he might live in our lives. And if we want him to completely fill us, which is your command, that we be filled, then the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, will be evident in our lives. Thank you. For it's in precious name we pray. Amen.